Unfortunately, Valentina couldn't be here today, so I'll be presenting. This is, as you said, joint work. If you want digital copies of the slides, those are on my website. So as the title of this talk suggests, today I'm going to contribute to a recent discussions about the interplay of iconicity and formal grammar in sign languages. I'm going to be focusing on a case study of pluractionality in French Sign Language. I'm going to call that LSF, which is Langue des Signes Française. There's been, for the last 40 years, a large amount of descriptive work on verbal inflection in sign languages. This includes Susan Fisher's work, some work by Clemen Belugi. The basic finding is that by repeating a verb form in a variety of different ways, a large number of different meanings can be communicated. This includes happening again and again, or distributively giving over a group, or a variety of other things. There's been some recent work that has given a sort of decompositional analysis of this, both phonologically and syntactically. I'm going to give a specific example so that you have something to latch onto. The sentence is, often one person forgets one word. And this forget in French, oublier, is this sign. And he's going to repeat it several times. Often one person forgets one sign, one word. So the main points for today, I'm going to say that there's a categorical semantic difference between two pluractional forms that I'm going to look at. One of them is a full repetition of a sign, and the other is a two-handed alternation. We're going to see that the distributive semantics that we'll posit for these forms fit into a larger pattern of pluractionality across spoken languages. Additionally, though, beyond spoken language, we'll say that there's an iconic component to both of these forms, and we'll use an argument from gradient interpretation. This will be a more abstract case of iconicity than some of the cases that have been recently discussed, because it's about verbal events as opposed to nominal objects. And then finally, once we put this all together, it'll be fairly easy to do, but we'll note that the resulting system will be expressively more powerful than what's commonly assumed for spoken language out of the generative grammar. Pluractionality. So in many languages of the world, there are pluractional verbs, verbal suffixes. Often this is created through reduplication. The general idea is that these communicate that there's somehow a multitude of events. Either an event happened again and again, or many things happen at the same time. So in this slide, I give some examples of reduplication, just so you see this pattern. The phonological form of reduplicating also fits into a general thing. Semantically, what do these things mean? Here's an example from upriver Halkomelem. Say it again? No. Okay. The verb is to fall a tree. With the pluractional suffix, this can have several meanings. This can mean that multiple people felled a tree. It can mean that one person felled multiple trees. Or it can mean that one person felled one tree again and again, like it's a magical tree that keeps on growing. But what it can mean is that one person felled one tree one time. I've got a picture. I'm going to be using these pictures because I think they're useful to visualize these sorts of things. Along the y-axis, I have a theta for the participants in the event. Along the x-axis, I have time going this way. And what it means to be pluractional means you've got more than one dash in this little diagram. That's the meaning of the suffix. So in LSF as well, verbs can be modified with reduplication to indicate pluractionality. I'm going to be focusing on two different morphemes that appear across a wide range of verbs. The first I'll call rep for repeat or repetition. This is full repetition of the exact same motion of the verb. So forget, repeat it again, forget, forget, forget. Alt is alternating repetition of the two hands. I'll give two video examples. Additionally, I can show some other examples if you're interested in like agreeing verbs, unaccusative verbs, a wide range of verbs. So give, singular form is this. We'll see three forms. Give, singular, give. Give, 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 one-handed. Two-handed, give, 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 give. Here's forget. Forget, singular. And two-handed. So what do these things mean? Roughly speaking, the rep, forget rep means to forget again and again. Forget alt means forget many things, or many people forgot. In other words, these are exactly the same dimensions of pluractionality that we saw earlier. Alt and rep just carve up the space of pluractional meanings along specific dimensions. So here's to prove this is the case. You see that alt can be licensed by a plural in any argument position. So a group of people gave me books, grammatical, with that. One person forgot several words, with alternating, grammatical. So that's a plural agent or a plural theme. But critically, nine, which is a minimal, is minimally different from eight, is not grammatical, where you have a single person forgetting a single word, even if you have often in there. So often one person forget, alternating one word, ungrammatical. In contrast, rep does the opposite. Rep requires distribution over time. So you can say 10, which is minimally different from the previous example, often one person forget rep one word, forget one word, is grammatical. You can also leave out often, and it'll communicate the same sort of thing that happens multiple times. And in fact, once you look at slightly more fine-grained judgments involving context matching, you find that rep actually requires that the participants be the same in each group. So if you have in 11, my friends forgot rep to bring a camera, this has to mean that it's the group as a whole that's forgetting every single time. I like pictures. Here's some pictures to show what I've just said. On the right, left, on your left, you have rep, which has to have the same thematic argument repeated several times in time. Alt can be used, it has to have a plural number of participants to license it, and then it can optionally vary over time or not. Formally, I give some definitions you can look at if you want. Critically, I have it highlighted in red. This doesn't apparently show any color. But the difference is that, what is this? Alt requires the thematic arguments to be different. Rep requires them to be the same. So the interim summary is that this pattern of pluractional verbs in French Sign Language fits perfectly into a broader typology of pluractionality in spoken languages. But wait, there's more. Across sign languages are well known for having productive and pervasive iconicity. In loose terms, that is, the form of the sign looks like the meaning of the sign. There are a couple of pictures that I give some examples here. Formally, I'll give the following definition. A construction is iconic if there is a structure-preserving mapping from the form of a sign to its meaning. What does that mean to preserve structure? Well, you can preserve a variety of different things. You can preserve mereology, you can preserve topology, you can preserve geometry. What does that mean? Measurement. So if you have two things that are close together versus far apart, you'll preserve that in the meaning. In the form it's close, in the meaning it's close. If you're preserving measure, though, the result is, the corollary, is that gradient phonetic changes will yield gradients in the semantic interpretation. I'm just going to give one example from the literature from the previous slide. This is, you can use this hand shape to communicate a small circular object, and you can change the size of the aperture of your fingers to communicate how large that thing is. So that means slightly smaller than that one. And this is a sort of a gradient scale. And the Emery and Herzig paper shows that actually signers and non-signers as well are able to interpret these gradiently. In contrast to this, generative grammar, which is a discrete combinatorial system, is not able to create gradient effects. The upshot of these two things together is that the interpretation of gradient phonetic changes can serve as a diagnostic for iconicity. You should know that this is a sufficient diagnostic, but perhaps not necessary, since you only have to preserve some structure. This is the diagnostic we'll be using. So the claim, then, is that the rate of reduplication in French Sign Language pluractional verbs is iconically mapped to the rate of event repetition over time. To give a specific example, give rep when signed slowly means that the giving events happened slowly. Note, though, that it's clear that it's not absolute speed that's preserved. So for example, if I can use this slow verb to denote an event that happens over the course of several days, and it doesn't take me several days to pronounce the verb, right? So really what you're preserving, I'm going to argue, is relative speed. But if only relative speed is preserved, then in order to find gradient effects, we need to look at comparative examples, because we won't be able to look at a single thing in isolation. So that's what I'm going to do in two different ways. First, I'm going to look at comparative paradigms, where multiple levels of speed are interpreted in comparison. And second, I'm going to look at examples where you have acceleration, you have change of speed within a single verb form. A single verb form shows comparison because there's acceleration or deceleration. I'll show that both of these types of cases can be interpreted in the expected way. Here's a paradigm. This is a comparative paradigm. Assign or assign three verbs. Give rep, sorry, I forgot to add the rep. These are all rep here. Give rep slowly. The second one is give rep fast. The third one is give rep sort of medium speed. It's an unintuitive order, but this happened to be the order that we elicited these in. The finding is that judged independently, there's a binary distinction. So if you just say, what does this mean? The first one, give slow, is interpreted as slower than some default rate. It seemed to be giving over the course of several days. 15b and 15c are judged to be true in the same scenarios, giving multiple times on the same day. So that's what we expect, because in isolation, perhaps there's a default rate, but you can't get find gradient judgments. But when asked to compare these forms, the gradient judgments emerged between all three forms. You can either read this here, but I'm going to show a video of the signer gave a very sort of a judgment that was fairly incisive into this exact point, so I'm going to let him tell you. He's going to be talking about comparing all three forms. He says, of the three, the second and the third are true in the same situations, but the time is a little bit different, slow or fast. I'll explain. The second one, give fast, means the person asked, and I gave. The third one, give medium, means the person was like, ask please, and I gave. So it's a matter of degree. It's a little bit different. The idea is the same. Second, we can see gradient effects in a single verb if we allow change in speed, acceleration, or deceleration. The following data is going to come from ASL. The reason I do that is because we have no empirical findings so far that show that the iconic component is actually different between ASL and LSF. And moreover, there are theoretical reasons why you might expect this to be the same among sign languages. Finally, a lot of the literature has been describing American Sign Language inflection. So I just want to show that this iconic thing seems to carry over to American Sign Language as well. So what you'll see here is a rep form of give in American Sign Language. It happens to be homophonous to French Sign Language. And the first one is decelerating. The second one is accelerating. Accelerating. I'll play that again, just for the hell of it. Decelerating. Give. And accelerating. Give. And the interpretation of these critically is that the first is interpreted as denoting an event which decelerates in rate, and the second one denoting an event which accelerates in rate. In fact, it's possible to preserve quite a lot of information. I have examples where they're speeding up to a plateau at a fast speed for a period of time and then decelerating again. Right? So quite a lot of structure. But what is notably not preserved is the exact number of repetitions that you assign this thing. So for example, in the first example, the decelerating example, there is no inference that the speaker gave something exactly 12 times, which, if you had been paying attention closely, was the number of times his hands moved. In fact, this is not really a surprise because there's a general finding in the sign language literature that, say, three means plural and sometimes two is enough to mean plural. And even a more general cognitive finding from Susan Carey's work that relative cardinality judgments are much easier than absolute cardinality judgments. But in terms of how we're going to formalize this, it's a little bit tricky because we preserve all this information and yet critically don't preserve the exact repetitions of the thing. So I'm going to sketch a proposal, which is that really repetition is associated with not with a discrete set of points, but with a continuous distribution of events over time. So what would be red if there were color, this line here, when you sign a sign, you're associating this sequence with some sort of line that fits that, the number of events, the rate over time. Then the verb is going to be true of any sequence of events, which matches the same contour as this. So I put this in semantic brackets to show that this is the form, and the meaning is this set of events, all of which match that same contour. But now notice what we've done is just associate a verb with the set of plural events. In other words, we have a predicate of type VT, a set of events, that we can pop into a formal definition. So that's what I've done in 16. 16 is exactly the same as the one that I have before, but here I've taken this generic plural operator, plural creating operator dist, and replaced it with an iconic predicate, something that takes a phonological form and a verb and gives you a sequence of events over time. The rest of the definition just remains the same because it's a set of events, it's a formal object. So this follows Schlenker, Lamberton, and Santoro, who say that there's no real fundamental opposition between iconic properties and formal properties. There's no problem in allowing an iconically defined predicate to be incorporated directly into a formal system. But the result of the system's expressive power is sort of interesting, because when you strip away iconic predicates from what the definition that I just have, we're left with exactly the system that's used for spoken language. This system is thus at least as expressive as spoken language. But we've also seen that iconic predicates can express meaning in ways that a purely combinatorial grammar cannot. The specific case that we looked at was gradient interpretation. So in fact, the system that we have is more expressive than spoken language. So you can view a combinatorial grammar with iconicity as sort of a fine graining of a purely combinatorial grammar. So, to sum up, here we focus on these two reduplicative verbal forms in LSF. First, I tried to position the semantics of these forms within a broader linguistic context, showing how the meanings fit in with more general patterns of cross-linguistic pluractionality. The specific finding was that the one-handed repetition means distribution over time, two-handed repetition means distribution over participants. Then, though, we argue that sign language forms go beyond what we've seen to date in spoken language forms. Critically, there's an iconic component that's also incorporated into both of these forms. And we saw that in comparative constructions, gradient interpretation arises. Finally, putting these together, we ended up with a system that was expressively more powerful than a grammar without iconic predicates. Thank you.